Blog Talk Radio.
The God's time. Oh, good heavens. We're working. If that's what you want to call it. Good evening. Happy New Year's Eve. And welcome to Eerie House Radio. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show here along with...
Danny Minkley from Weirdness, Really Bad Movie, and Spaceship One, and I have no idea who this Eve gal is you're talking about.
She comes around every New Year's. And so
okay.
Yeah, that's why you hear people say Happy New Year's, Eve.
Okay. I guess I should refresh, because then I'll be in the chat. I should do that. I will do that. I have done that. Here I come.
Yeah, I'll introduce you to Eve later on, but... want to thank good old Bob for joining us live, Fogsbane for joining us live tonight. You don't know how much that means to us for you to join us on a holiday like this. Thank you very, very much. We'll try to make it worth your while. And if not, hey, well, it'll be same stuff as usual. Anyway.
Same stuff as usual here on Erie House. And I know because you make me sweep out the basement every once in a while. There is nothing usual in there.
No, not in my basement. it's more like evidence. But anyway,
not if you bury it right.
Dave thought, and rightfully so, I think, after a really tough year in reality land, which I personally try to escape as often as possible, especially lately, we thought that we deserve to end the year with some laughs, so we've got some comedic dramas for you tonight.
Yes, good old Life of Riley, Life with Luigi, and Life of Amos and Andy, but that wasn't the title of that show.
No, but that's life.
But anyway, yes.
And Edward G. Robinson is in that one.
Edward G. Robinson shows up in Amos and Andy, absolutely, as, we'll let you know as what, but what a fun show Amos and Andy was, despite the fact there's a couple of white guys doing the several characters in the cast, but they did have black African-American actors and actresses in the show as well. And when they took it to television, they created the first all African-American cast for television, and they produced it. And I don't understand the controversy, because these were not slough-offs. These were business people. Started off as the Fresh Air Taxi Cab Company, went to their own taxi company, but... it was originally because there was no roof, so it was the Fresh Air Taxi Company to start off
with. Yeah. Well, I mean, there are some stereotypical happenings in these shows, and the country was a different place than it is today, or was it? I don't. Who knows? But it is a product of its time, is what I'm saying, and we're presenting it was presented
in 1961, I think they came out with a cartoon version using animals instead of people, and then it was okay. It is what it is, but I don't know. It is what it is.
It was a product of its time, and it's a piece of history, and therefore, right or wrong, should not be forgotten.
Well, and it was history. I mean, when we get there, there's some interesting history that Amos and Andy made throughout all of radio.
Absolutely.
And I don't know if you wanted to start there or not. But
I think we should. I'd like to get Edward G. Robinson, and then we're also going to have Ernest Borgnine later, so sorry Gar's not here.
Oh, we are? Wow.
No, we're not.
Because originally, Amos and Andy started way back in 1928, really as a serial, and it really kind of invented the radio serial. Almost soap opera type thing, and they were 15 minutes, five, sometimes 6 days a week, so popular that movie theaters couldn't compete with it. They actually shut down the movie and rolled out a radio and aired Amos and Andy in many movie theaters.
Wow.
Believe it or not, in the 15-minute programs, of which there's almost none left, they did over 4,000 of those broadcasts between 1928 and 1942, when they finally went to the half-hour audience situation comedy format. So not only did they create the serial, they also created the syndication. As they were recording, they started recording them on 78 RPM discs from their broadcast to send them out so more stations could get them, originally coming out of Chicago. And it just absolutely, it was just absolutely amazing, the things, the ground that this show broke and established. A whole format, and yet the characters ended up in 1942 in the half-hour situation comedy. Those are the ones I remember because those are what most recordings still survive. And I think they are just absolutely downright hilarious.
Yep, and we got them for you tonight, along with, again, with Life of Riley, Life of Luigi, Erie House Radio. Welcome, CW, to the chat. How you doing? You know the number.
Yeah, call in. Call in.
You know the number. You know. We love you folks for joining us on New Year's, really. We just didn't do the ringing in the New Year this year. Thought it'd be a little nicer to maybe do that with the fam. And you're part of our family too, so we decided to do the show tonight.
Absolutely. And looking forward to sharing this episode with Amos and Andy and special guest, Mr. Edward G. Robinson.
That's right. And my new mouse, I just clicked right out of the studio. And now scrolling madly to get to part one of Amos and Andy's New Year's Eve show. Probably be better to start
from
part one. And from, I don't know.
Yeah, it would be better. Yeah. From December 31st, 1943.
Dirty. There we go. Thanks, Blog Talk.
Keep scrolling.
Now my mouse got reversed.
Good evening. The makers of the new Rinso bring you the Amos and Andy Show with their guest tonight, Mr. Edward G. Robinson. Well, it's New Year's Eve, and our friend Andrew H. Brown hopes to go out on a big date with the very attractive Amethyst Dunbar. His one great problem is finding a tuxedo, and after scouring the whole town without success, things look bad for Andy. At the moment, he is telling his troubles to Amos.
So you couldn't find a tuxedo in the whole town, huh, Andy?
Not one. Well, I did find one, but you ought to see the shape it was in.
Mm.
There was not only fraying on the cuffs, but there was fraying on the frames.
Yeah, that's bad, all right.
Yeah, and my gal won't go out with me unless I dress up formal. Oh, the whole tuxedo situation is just like everything else this past year. You can't get nothing, nowhere, no how.
Yeah.
I'll sure be glad when this crazy year goes out tonight.
Well, Ann, it's just like all we got to learn to do without certain things. You know what Ruby made for supper tonight?
No, what?
What they call the eggless, milkless, butterless cake.
Yeah, well, the way things are going, pretty soon we'll have a cakeless cake. Oh, this is a bad year. Substitutes for everything.
Well, Andy, you know the reason for it all. A certain man is trying to give the world a substitute for freedom, and while we is getting rid of that man, why, we got to give up a few things.
Yeah, I guess so. Wait a minute. Come in, Kingfish.
Well,
come
how are you there, boys? How are you?
Hi there, Kingfish.
Well, what you look so down the dumps, boat, Andy?
Oh, I don't know.
Andy is mad about what a tough time he done had this year.
Well, I don't blame you, Andy. This year wasn't no rose for me neither.
Wasn't, huh?
No, look how I've been living. Me and my wife been fighting. Just finished another one.
Sure enough.
It seems like at the end of every year, she takes all the little fights that we done had during the year and piles them up into one big one. That's what she do. Sort of a review of all the little fights in one lump is what they do.
What is the trouble now, Kingsley?
Oh, she brung up the time that I didn't want the kin folks to visit us. She brung up the thing about me not taking the job as a doorman.
Oh, yeah, I was there for that one. That was a battle, all right.
It wasn't no skirmish, I know that. Then last summer, she gave me $35 to pay some bills and told me to put it away, and I forgot where I put it. I never did find the $35.
Oh, I remember that. That was last summer, yeah.
Yeah, that started last summer, still going on. And the funny part of it is, I don't know what I done with it. Oh, we've been going hot and heavy with argument.
Well, I don't see why I am sitting here sympathizing with you. I've still got to get a tuxedo by 9 o'clock tonight.
Well, you going to a party, Andy?
Sure, I got a date with Amethyst Dunbar.
Oh, you, huh?
Yeah, but she won't go out with me unless I got on a tuxedo. And I is crazy about that gal.
Yeah, I don't know what you're going to do, Andy, if you can't rent one.
Need a tuxedo. Mm-hmm, yeah. Of course, I would lend you mine free, Andy, but I done sent it down to Georgia to my wife's brother to get married in, and he ain't sent it back yet.
Yeah.
Oh, Andy's crazy about the gal he got a date with, too.
You know, I was just thinking, maybe through my disconnections, I might be able to dig you up a tuxedo somewhere myself. How much would you be willing to pay, Andy?
Well, of course, I don't want to pay too much.
Oh, I would protect you there, you know. But, on the other hand, it wouldn't be right to pay too little.
No, but if you could find me something somewhere along there in between, not quite too much and almost too little, that'd be all right.
Oh, I assure that we can work out something, Andy. Name your price.
$2.
I'll name another one.
Look, Kingfish, if you think you know where you can get Andy a tuxedo, why don't you find out how much it's going to cost and then let Andy know about it?
Well, you see, Amos, unless I know how much Andy's got, it's kind of hard for me to dicker.
Yeah. But the trouble is, Kingfish, I don't know whether you is dickering the tuxedo man or dickering me. What do you think of me trying Henry Van Porter? Maybe he ain't using his tonight.
No. Now, wait a minute. Don't call up Henry. You wouldn't want to wear that old tuxedo Henry's got.
Why wouldn't he, Kingfish? What's wrong with it?
Yeah.
In the first place, his tuxedo got so many mark holes in it that unless you put on underwear made out of the same material, people going to think you're wearing a polka dot suit. That's what they're going to think.
Yeah, that's bad, all right.
Oh, don't worry, Andy. I'll find you a tuxedo. I'll even get you a right size, 44. I know that. Meet me at the large hall in an hour, and I guarantee I'll have you one.
Okay, Kingfish. Get on the job right away, and don't fail me.
Count on me, son. I'll do everything I can to help you.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, Andy, if the Kingfish digs up a tuxedo, I'll lend you that old set of studs I got for your stiff bosom shirt.
Oh, great, Amos. Thank you. I could use them, all right. You know, the last couple of formal fairs I done went to, I had to take a pencil and draw some studs over the buttonholes.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, Andy, you call me up at home if you want the studs, and I'll bring them right over to you.
Okay. Gee, I sure hopes that Kingfish comes through.
You sure is nervous, Miss Andy.
Yeah, what is you doing here at the Lodge Hall on New Year's Eve, Lightning?
I was just killing time waiting for my wife to get through working at the lunchroom. Then we're going to a New Year's Eve party.
Yeah, well, you ain't seen the Kingfish around here, is you, Lightning?
No, sir, Miss Andy, I ain't. I've been sleeping in the reading room. Look like I'm going to be up till 12:30 tonight, so I won't be in shape.
Well, you can sleep late in the morning, can't you?
No, sir. I got to get up at 7:30 to wake up my wife so she can get to work, you know. Seems like I always on the go.
Yeah. Well, the thing for you to do,
Hello there, Brother Andy. How is you?
Oh, Kingfish. Did you get me a tuxedo?
Well, yes and no, Andy. I done found a man that's got a tuxedo that fits you. The question is you got the money to fit the tuxedo? Now, that's the thing.
How much does the man want?
Well, now, I tell you, Andy, this fellow works in a defense plant.
Yeah.
And everything with him is by the hour. Now, I done tried to sell him the idea of 75 cents an hour for renting you the tuxedo. But he said that from 4 to 12 is the swing shift. It happens to be a dollar hour. That's the scale.
That's $8.
Mm-hmm.
But, Kingfish, I can't get the tuxedo back by 12 o'clock midnight. I don't want people at the party saying the old year went out at 12 o'clock and Andrew Brown went out at 11:30.
Maybe you could get it back by 1 o'clock, Miss Andy.
Quiet, Layton. Let's say that it do run till 1 o'clock.
Well, to tell you the truth, Kingfish, it most likely be 2 o'clock before I get home.
Mm-hmm.
Then, in case we decide to have some scrambled eggs or something after that, why, the whole thing might accumulate up to 5 or 6 o'clock.
That sure is not accumulating, ain't it?
Yeah.
Well, now, the thing is, Andy, after midnight, the rate on the tuxedo goes up to a dollar and a half hour. See, the man wants a time and a half overtime on the suit. That's the way that is.
Let me see. That's $8. Four more dollars at $1.50. That's $6, ain't it?
Mm-hmm.
Eight and six is 14.
No, Andy, it's more than 14. You see, after midnight, it's New Year's Day, and on holidays, he gets double time. That's what I mean.
Well, now listen, Kingfish. I gotta have that tuxedo suit. But all the money I got to my name is $18, and I.
Well,
don't
now, wait a minute. Now there is a coincidence. That is the biggest coincidence I've ever run into.
Yeah, huh?
That happens to be exactly the price that I talked the man down to, $18. Now give me the money, Andy, so I can close the deal with the man before he changes mind. I'll have Lightning pick up the suit and bring it over to your room right away. I'll give you a dime, Lightning.
Yeah, sir. Oh, listen, Kingfish. Is I got to pay the $18 right now?
Oh, sure. That's part of the deal. Besides that, if you stalls off paying it, the scale might go up on you.
Okay, Kingfish, I'll do it. Me paying $18 to rent a tuxedo. It must be love.
Here's the tuxedo, Miss Andy.
Yeah, hurry up and unpack the box there, Lightning, and let's look at it. It's getting late, you know.
Yeah, sir. Here it is. Now, yeah. I'll put them on. That's it, Miss Andy.
Yeah, let me see here.
Put them up. Yeah, them pants look a little long to me.
Yeah, well, they'll do all right. Give me the coat.
Yeah, sir.
I'll slip this on. Yeah, it's a 44, all right. Now, tell me this. How do it look?
Pretty good, Miss Anna. That sure look like an old style tuxedo or something, though.
Yeah, it do, don't it? I guess it ain't out of style too long, though. I wonder how old it is.
Sometimes they got a label on the inside coat pocket that's got the date on it.
Yeah, let me see here what it say. Yeah, the writing ain't too clear. March the 23rd, 1924. Hey, here's the name of the man that owns it. George Kingfish Steve. Lightning, this suit belongs to the Kingfish.
And he charged $18 for it.
That big bum. This is a fine way to finish up the year. This is the climax to everything.
Well, he sure has done pulled a fast one on you.
Yeah. Well, I guess there ain't nothing I can do about it right now.
No, sir, it ain't.
Listen, Lightning, stop by Amos's house and tell him to bring the studs over here.
Yeah, sir.
Oh, me, this is a mess. Well, I guess I'll have to forget it. Listen, Lightning, I think I'm going to take a little snooze till Amos gets here. That's all this year's been good for anyway.
Yeah, sir, well, I'll get going. I better take off your coat so you ain't going to wriggle it all up.
Yeah, I'll leave on the pants. I won't get them wrinkled.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Sure feel good to stretch out here. Thank you for bringing me this suit, Lightning. Me. Boy, is I tired.
You want me to close the door, Miss Andy?
The door? Close it.
Oh, no, it's all sucks.
How about that? I almost fell asleep. Yeah.
That's what that music will do to you, yes.
Some music
will make you cry, some will make you dance, and some will make you fall asleep.
Yes. Well, I was just snoring along with the kingfish there as we...
These are fun.
This is a fun show.
It's about time for the special guest to appear when we get back into it here. So all kinds of New Year's fun here on Erie House Radio tonight, Dale.
Yes.
When you DJ, did you host New Year's Eve parties?
Yes, I did. Typically at the bar I worked at, I mean, the bulk of my playing was at that place that you visited briefly. It was known at that time as Alfalfa's Pub. And, I captured lightning in a bottle. I was in the right place at the right time. Fun people that I could easily connect with and kind of figure them out musically, what they liked, and take care of them. And at first it was in the bar doing their New Year's Eve party. But later, once I started doing like weddings and had my own system, then I would start booking out private parties. Yep. So I worked a lot of holidays,
in a sense, to perform and to listen to a lot of music and to get paid for it all.
It was a beautiful thing. It was a beautiful thing. But, you know, you spend a lot of time away from relatives and family, too, because you're working the holidays all
okay,
the time.
Okay, so there's another plus, right?
Exactly. Oh, you know, you met my family. Clearly, you know them. I'm sure I've whined about them enough. Anyway,
after this episode, I'll talk about what my New Year's Eves used to be back when I was a kid. But we will save that for after the special guest star on Amos and Andy.
Yep. And
there's a call. We know who that is.
Why, I'll bet I know who this is. I recognize the number. 1111111111111. Hello.
Happy almost New Year.
Almost there.
Happy almost New Year, yes. My keyboard got stuck like that. That's how I could get a phone number like that.
Thank you for joining us as we prepare to stick a fork in 2021.
Everybody
thought it was
pitchfork.
Such better than
pitchfork.
Yes, everybody thought it would be so much better in 2020, and then comes 2021, and I, you know, it's Soylent Green. You know, I coming for 2022. I just don't know.
Yeah.
Well, just remember, Soylent Green is people. So, remember, Midwesterners are awfully tasty.
We're corn-fed.
We like our potatoes, yes.
Mm-hmm. It's like built-in stuffing.
A little
stuffing.
Starchy there.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Yet another call.
Holy God.
Whoa.
There's more. It's getting crowded.
But wait, there's more.
Hello, everyone. Boy, boy, it's you all.
Oh, you sound happy. Have more coffee.
Yeah.
You okay, great. Brother? You okay?
I'm okay. Happy New Year.
Well, I thought you sounded rough yesterday, buddy. You sound rougher today.
Yeah, it's a wonderful day.
Wonderful life.
Blah, blah to you all.
Blah with the boom booms over today. As the man said.
There we go. I just wanted to call in and say hello to everybody, and that's all. Bye. No.
Wow.
Hey, brother, we wish you a much better new year
yep.
next year than what you had this year, boyfriend.
Yeah.
Especially health-wise.
I hope so, too. CW with
yeah.
us?
Yep.
Yeah,
I am indeed.
Here too.
Well, hello. All right, here we go, everybody.
All right.
You guys have fun.
Hey, with that
thanks
bell, I thought
it.
We were going to hear Dr. Domeno there for a minute.
Yeah,
oh,
no kidding. Yeah. So the four horses of the apocalypse. Does that signal good times for the next year?
Four cowbells of the apocalypse. How about that?
I was going to say the four cows of the apocalypse.
I need more cowbell. I need more cowbell.
More cowbell.
Yeah. We've got it. All right, you folks have a great show, and I will talk with you on the other side.
All right, get better, buddy.
All right,
bye-bye.
Yes. Heal you.
Careful, Icarus. Okay, bye.
Bye. I hope he gets better soon.
You know, before we get back to the question towards CW, because I know she is our conscience, Dale. She's our conscience.
Yeah.
And,
that's a tough job.
You and I don't have... There's filters you and I don't have that the CW does.
It's called
do you
class.
Feel differently? How, do you feel differently about Amos and Andy than I guess many of us do?
It was how can I put this? If anyone ever saw the Samuel Jackson movie called Amos and Andy, it was a play on the name. Anyone ever get a chance to see it? That'll give you a clue as to.
Yeah. We lost her.
Oh, we lost her.
Call back.
We'll give CW a chance to call back as we wrap up our New Year's Eve Amos and Andy program. We'll be back. Goulet.
Who that coming in the door?
All right, buddy, stick him up.
Wait a minute, mister. Wait a minute. Don't point that gun at me. Please, sir, don't shoot.
Get up.
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah. Don't shoot, mister. Please don't.
Up against that wall. Go on, back up. Keep your hands up.
Mister, you can have anything I got.
I don't want anything you got. All I want to do is to hide out here for a couple of hours.
Yes, sir, you can hide. I'll help you, mister.
Now, take it easy, buddy. You ain't got nothing to worry about. I just want to lay low here till midnight. Pull down that shade.
Yes, sir. Mister, that suit you was wearing, ain't you a convict?
So what? I made my getaway from the death chamber, and I'm supposed to die at midnight. Now, what's it to you?
Yes, sir. Well, who is you, mister? What's
your
name?
It happens to be a number. Here it is, on the shirt. See?
1943.
Yeah.
Excuse me, mister, 1943, but what was you in for?
Plenty of things, plenty, but mostly murders. They thought 1917 was tough, and they thought 1929 was pretty bad.
1917. 1929. And, mister, that number on your shirt there, 1943, them numbers mean something. Yeah. Them is years.
Catch on quick, don't you?
Mister, by any chance, is you...
Yeah, you guessed it, buddy. You're talking face-to-face with a year. 1943. That's me.
Yeah, sir. And this is the last day of the year. And you were supposed to die at midnight. Yes, sir, I can see what you mean by murders. You've been bad, all right.
Now, never mind. Skip that part of it, buddy. Time is short, and I got to talk to somebody, so you stand there and listen.
Yes. Mister, please let me go, sir. Let me talk to you some other night.
There won't be any other night, see? This is my last chance. All I want to do is talk, tell you what's deep down in here.
Yes, sir.
See, buddy, when a year realizes that it only has a few more hours to live, a lot goes through his mind. Especially a year like me, a tough year.
Yes, I was just thinking about all the floods and the shooting, bombings and stuff like that.
Yeah, I know. You're like everybody else, glad to get rid of me. So what? I'm gone. It's just that I hate to leave without somebody knowing that it wasn't all my fault.
Yeah, well, you was leaving things in a mess, mister.
Yeah, well, it could have been different too, buddy, but when I was a kid, I met a lot of wrong guys, and I'm taking the rap.
What you mean?
Well, I got mixed up with a guy named Adolf. I didn't have enough sense to see that he only looked tough because he was picking on little fellas. Now, when it's too late, I can see that the guy who thought he was too smart to hang wallpaper is going to wind up hanging himself.
Yeah, sir. I see what you mean.
Yeah, and then there was a fat kid in the neighborhood by the name of Benito. Yeah, I used to say to him, Benny, let's play checkers. And he'd say, no, let's help Adolf play London Bridge is falling down. Yeah, and then there was a half-pint by the name of Tojo. He lived over on the west side. He showed me how to sneak up on people and let them have it in the back.
Yeah, well, what kind of people live where you live, Mr. 1943? Wasn't there no nice kids?
Oh, yeah, sure. Right across the pond from Adolf's and Benny's was a kid named Frank. I guess his regular name was Franklin, but they called him Frank for short. He asked me to come over to his house one day and see his stamp collection.
Yeah, sir. Did you go?
No. And I wish I had. Things would have been a lot different if I'd have been on his side. I used to laugh when I thought about him saving stamps. Guess nobody realized that someday he'd be saving the little countries that printed a lot of them stamps.
Yes, sir. I see what you mean.
Yeah, I've been tough, and I ain't making no bones about it. It's just that... Say, maybe they're coming for me. Where can I go? Where can I hide?
Well, don't worry, mister. Look here. Tell you what you do. Here, put on this old robe of mine, and they won't see your prison suit. I'll tell them you was a friend of mine.
Okay, buddy, but make it snappy.
Yeah, here, put it on. There. Now, put your gun in this drawer.
Yeah.
Now, stand over there.
Okay, buddy.
Now, stick them up, Mr. 1943, and I ain't fooling.
Oh, double-cross me,
Keep those hands up. I mean it, because I don't like you no more than the rest of people do. Come in.
Well, hello there. Say, what's going on here?
Amos, stand over here by me. I got him. That's a criminal. He was supposed to die at midnight. He ain't just a man. Look at him. He is a year. Look at the number on his shirt.
1943. Oh, yeah, he's a tough guy, Andy.
Yeah, I'm going to call the police and turn him in.
Okay, you got me, bud, but the cops will never get me. I'll be gone before they get here.
What would we do, Amos?
Wait a minute, Andy. Maybe we won't turn him in.
But, Amos, he's been the worst criminal of all of them.
That's right, Andy. 1943 has been bad. Full of suffering, crime, and heartaches and everything else.
All right. Don't pull your punches. I can take it. Tell him how I killed 6 million people. Set fire to churches and put swastikas where crosses used to be.
That's right, 1943. The world will never forget your sins. But you know, no matter how bad a person is, if you will look hard enough, you can find a little good in him.
Good?
1943, you put out a lot of lights all over this world. But as you leave us tonight, we ought to remember that you left the light burning in the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah. You noticed that, huh?
Yeah, sir, and there's other things, too. With all the bad things you has done, you still let somebody find enough time to print more copies of a certain book than was ever printed in 1 year before.
The Holy Bible.
Say, that's right.
And when we needed it most, 1943, you give us the biggest potato crop we ever had in our history. And somebody told me that somewhere in between your crimes, you looked down on a scientist working on some old stale mold. And you let that man discover a new drug that will save millions of human lives. You know, Andy, no year that folks ever tore off the calendar was all good. 1943 ain't been all bad.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, buddy, because when I took over the reins last January 1st, things weren't so hot. I don't expect history to list me with the heroes. I'm no 1776, and I know it. Still, I tried, and I'd give anything in the world if I could try again. But a year has only one chance to make good, and people have many. That's him now, the new year. Well, this is where I came in. Hand me the gun, buddy.
Give it to him, Andy.
Well, you ain't gonna pull a fast one on us, is you?
Well, the only thing I have left to pull, buddy, is a shade between two eternities.
Well, here's your gun.
Well, there's just one bullet left in this gun that has killed so many. I saved that one for myself. Guess I better go now and let him come in. He's got a lot to do, and he'll need every minute.
Who knows? Maybe he's the year the world's been waiting for. And try to remember that even a good year can't do it all by himself. Give the kid a little help and be patient with him. The tide has already begun to turn, but it takes the right kind of people to make the right kind of year. And one more thing before I go. Remember that this new fellow will have 24 hours longer on the job than I had, for he'll have the extra day of leap year. Now, if you'll all pull together and do your share, that day can be the day of victory. Well, here I go. God bless you. Happy New Year. Come on in, 1944. Goodbye, world.
Andy, wake up.
Huh?
Andy, I brung you the studs.
Hello. Oh, me. Why did that 1943 have to go and shoot himself? He was the best year I'd ever talked to.
Andy, you must have been having a nightmare. Wake up. Come on, you got a date. You're going to be late if you don't hurry.
Oh, me. Amos, I guess you was right in letting him go, though.
What?
Well, he sure appreciated them nice things that you said about him.
Who, Andy?
1943.
Andy, you feel all right?
Who, me? Yeah, sure.
Come on, Andy, pull yourself together. Here, I'll hold your coat for you. Here.
Coat? Okay. Oh, yeah, let's see how this tuxedo coat look on me. It's supposed to be a 44. It's an old style.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, how do it look?
Let me see. Well, the shoulders don't fit bad. Take the stuff out the pocket. It's kind of bulging there on the side, Andy.
There ain't nothing in the pocket.
There's something in the pocket.
Oh, I tell you it ain't. I got my hand in there now. Wait a minute. I do feel something. Let me lift it up.
Look, there's something in the lining.
Yeah, take that safety pin out.
Look, Andy.
Well, I'll be doggone as money. 10, 20, 30, 35. Amos, this is the $35 the kingfish was telling us about that he never remembered where he put it.
That's it, all right, Andy.
Amos, hand me my hat and cane, son.
Andy, you sure do look great.
Oh, Amos, I'm telling you, this is a perfect 44.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here are Amos and Andy, who would like to say a few words to their listeners.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen?
Hello, folks.
Well, this being New Year's Eve, we have asked permission to say a few words to our friends on the air.
At this time of the year, we would like to let you know how grateful we are to you.
We wouldn't feel right to let this old year pass over the hill without expressing our deep appreciation for the people who sponsor this program and make it possible for us to be here. That is Lever Brothers, the people who make Rinso. We can truthfully say that since we have started our half-hour show in October, that we have never been treated with such cooperation and understanding in our entire radio career. We told you once before about going through and seeing a make soap, and we can tell you from experience that the product we represent, Rinso, is the greatest product of its kind.
And we've had many letters from our listeners telling us that. We hope you folks don't get mad if you don't find that your grocer don't have it on the shelf, because sometimes the grocer doesn't have it there. There's no Rinso on the shelf, but it's well worth waiting for. He is getting it as fast as it can possibly be made. And by waiting for it, You'll be helping yourself and helping us a lot, too.
At the end of the year, everybody sort of takes inventory, and in our checkup at the end of 1943 tonight, we find that we are rich in friends. And truthfully, that is the most important thing we know of. We are deeply grateful to you for this. And so, from our hearts, we want to thank you sincerely, as two people can thank their many friends. We promise you that during the coming year, we will redouble our efforts to bring you the best that's in us.
And for the splendid cooperation that we've received from the boys in the orchestra, from our guest stars, from Harlow Wilcox, members of our cast, and everyone connected with our show, we want to say to them many thanks and a Happy New Year.
And to you, our friends, we say may the new year bring victory to us and our valiant allies all over the world. That is our wish for a Happy New Year. And now let's all join in the chorus of Auld Lang Syne.
Perhaps you're lucky enough to have your loved one in the service, home on leave, and you wouldn't be human if you didn't want to know about everything he's doing, nor would it be unnatural for him to want to tell you. And yet that very enthusiasm, that desire to confide, can bring tragedy. Even when you're with family or friends and are sure no enemy agent can hear, it isn't safe to mention items of war information. Remember, things which don't seem important to you may be of vital importance in a link of information. So don't ask and don't tell where our soldiers are, how many there are, how they are being transported, when they're going, or what kind of duty they're going on. If you do hear it from someone, don't repeat it. If you see it yourself, don't repeat it. But if you read it in the newspapers or hear it on the radio, you can talk all you like. Otherwise, mum's the word. Join us again next week at the same time for the Amos and Andy Show, when the boys' guest will be the motion picture star, Pat O'Brien. Our thanks to Edward G. Robinson for appearing with us tonight. He may currently be seen in the Universal picture Flesh and Fantasy. This program is broadcast to our armed forces everywhere. This is Harlow Wilcox bidding you good night and repeating from all of us to all of you, Happy New Year!
Dave, you picked an amazing show. I don't know if that was by design or not, but some of the things that were going on in the country were not too dissimilar from things going on now.
Quite so.
In some ways, it was like that. It just it didn't hurt, but that every once in a while, the story usually ended up with a bit of a, no matter how silly it was at times, it ended up with a bit of a. A soft ending, soft landing, or something like that, whatever you want to call it. I think it was just so well written, and as so many of these great programs that lasted for so many years. And I just think, now up until they did the half hour shows, they wrote it all themselves. You're talking about, again, 50 minutes. They did over 4,000 of these 15-minute. Sometimes 6 days a week broadcasts that they were doing. It just, I can't even conceive of that. It's a number, and I know, and I'm saying it, but it is, it's something I can't even conceive of when you think of broadcasts.
Well, stick around, Dave.
Yeah.
Oh.
Stick around.
Okay. Hey, if Betty White didn't make it that far, I don't think I will either. So,
she's still here. Yes, Betty.
We'll have fun.
We lost her today. We lost her today.
What?
We lost Betty today. Yep.
Yeah. And I didn't want to ruin my wife's New Year's, so I didn't tell her yet.
Well, she's with the other Golden Girls now.
Yeah,
she is.
And Alan Ludden, she always missed him so much. She went around the country talking about cancer research and how she lost him to cancer and everything.
And I also loved the character Sue Ann Nivens she played on Mary Tyler Moore. She was so good at that.
If you thought Blanche on the Golden Girls was a total vixen, Sue Ann, that character I mean, Linda Lovelace, move over, please.
I promised to tell about my New Year's. I may have done this in past years. I don't remember that I have. That was a big time for our extended family. We got together with my grandfather and my grandparents and my cousins on Thanksgiving. We didn't go up for Christmas because, you know, when you're Buffalo to New York, when the roads were mostly single-lane highways back then. But for New Year's, we were there because there's a great big New Year's party. It would bring several arms of the family together, usually at my uncle, either Uncle Paul's or Uncle Boots' farm, and be up all night long, TV, football games going, card games going, fish fry, soda pop, beer, and then at midnight they go out and they would, as Gar is don't want to like to hear, they go out and shoot the shotgun at midnight to ring in the new year. But, you know, it was such a big time, something as a small kid I looked forward to so much. Didn't realize how much work it was until I was a little older. But that is probably maybe one of my favorite actually participating holidays. Never had one since they stopped happening. Never had anything like that. Never really did the New Year's party scene, but will always remember New Year's parties until the Alzheimer's sets in. So
I remember dating Dave and taking, like, at the rare time that I wasn't DJing, and maybe before I was doing it full-time enough where I was performing on New Year's Eve, is the old Hofbräu house, the old one. When I was down by East 55th over there in Cleveland. Oh, my gosh. They always had buffet-style stuff, and they're good German food. But, and with the Oompa bands and stuff like that, that was always like a fun New Year's for me.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah, with the exception of 2020 and this year, I've always worked every New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Yeah, for ever.
That's hard.
So this is an anomaly for me. Last year, well, 2020 I count as the non-year, and this particular, that is the dumpster fire year that I shall always refer to it as. 2021 is the trash can fire year, okay? It's getting better from dumpster fire to trash can fire, okay?
Yeah,
but
there you go.
Pretty soon we'll be indoors.
All right.
Yeah, I did a lot of that too, working in restaurants before I worked in radio, and even working in radio, I usually had done New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, or New Year's Eve Day and then New Year's Day, but certainly not on at midnight.
Yeah, but I've never gone to any of those parties or anything. I just don't have the mindset for it, you know, everybody getting totally sloshed beyond all comprehension, you know.
Fun to watch.
Yeah, it's fun to watch. Oh, yeah, I don't mind watching it, you know, just standing in a corner seeing everyone falling over themselves. Yes, you know, okay, happy new, what time is it, you know?
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
I've learned one thing about parties like that.
My face. What?
I've learned one thing from parties like that. There's just only so many lampshades in one house.
Mm-hmm.
Only so many chandeliers one can swing from. But and if before I was totally rudely cut off by the internet, who was ever listening, Xfinity, Comcast, T-Mobile, and whatever else, how dare you put me off just because I happen to have a large external antenna that's picking up free Wi-Fi. That's no excuse, but I digress. In regards
See,
to
I
what
told you there's lots of reasons to like her, Dave. Lots.
I know.
Yes. Yes, my morals are being slowly corrupted by you two, but I still have a touch of integrity left that's still still hovering around me. But there's,
you,
but,
don't you feel like you're gambling by hanging around us?
Yeah, rolling the dice. Rolling the dice. But in regards to Amos and Annie, you were asking, quick, short answer, it was okay for its time. Yeah, lots of talent, great writing. But just like Uncle Ben's Bryce is now without the image of Uncle Ben, that's all gone, goodbye, I don't miss it. I personally don't miss it, and I think a lot of people don't miss it because it was just a little cringe-worthy now. Still talented. This particular episode, by the way, was excellent it because it hit so far home. The shelves in a lot of grocery stores are empty.
Yep, exactly.
People are still getting sick. They are still, hospitals are still rationing out lots of PPE equipment. We are still literally at war with the corona.
Yes.
So, yeah, this really hits home. It's quite surprising and shocking. But, yeah, so that's why this particular one I personally like. Some of the other ones I've heard in the past, I'm sorry, I just can't deal with those. But this one is top-notch.
And real quick, because we do have two more shows to get through, but another point I wanted to bring up is, well, and just re-illustrate, because I know I've talked about this before, and it's been illustrated in many science fiction stories. I think Bradbury and others have pointed out in some of their stories how it's unfortunate how war has actually brought us closer together in this country. You know what I mean? I think fighting in a foxhole with a guy that might be of a different background than you, you find out, you know, when you trust your life with them, you find out that they're not that different from you. They just want to go home to their family, you know, at the end of the day.
Yeah. And pretty much they just want to keep their socks dry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but we're not in the same foxhole in this battle sometimes, it seems. And that separates us instead of brings us together as we have for a cause in past years. So.
Yeah.
Well, let me be the dark shadow of your bright light there. Don't scrape the surface of that shiny mirror too much because it'll get a little scarred up. Because, the country was coming together, World War One, World War Two. But you have to remember, World War One, they had a horrible pandemic swirling. And and quite frankly, I'm still perplexed. What the heck was the United States doing over in Europe? That was Queen Victoria's offspring fighting with each other, a bunch of inbred brats. But never mind.
Don't hold back. How do you really feel?
Did moi forget their manners? Oh, yeah, did it. So anyway, World War II, that was just because everything was coming undone, Hitler, Nazism, you know, what have you. It sort of just happened. And then Pearl Harbor, there was pretty much no choice. And there was a lot of bad stuff going on before, during, and after in our good old U.S. of A. Let's not coat it on too much.
No.
It was a cause, and everybody more or less pitched in, but there's still a lot of bad things going on. But suffice to say, we're all here. We're on the same planet. I, for one, am hoping that UFO will come back so I can get out of here. But as you said, you have other shows, so let's soldier on.
Let us soldier, yeah. Enough patriotism, damn it. Let's have a little more patriotism, because here's a good show. about an immigrant. It's one of my favorites. Life with Luigi.
Yeah.
This one's called The New Year's Phone Call.
Yeah, good old J. Carroll Nash and Fred Flintstone. That's right, Alan Reed. Basically starred in this. And J. Carroll Nash as the Italian immigrant. He always does it by writing a letter to his mama. And he's always talking about how great this country is, and through an immigrant's eyes, it's really, he never got to play the character of his nationality.
Yep.
Was he Scottish or something?
Well, he definitely wasn't Italian, as far as I know.
Scottish or he was Scottish or Irish or something like that, wasn't he, Dale?
J. Carroll Nash?
I think it was.
Yeah. I don't remember.
Maybe a little. Searching, hang on.
Searching.
Searching.
There we go.
Search for tomorrow.
There's not too much there.
Okay, why don't we get started on the episode, and then we'll have plenty of time.
Yeah, we're running out of time here.
Hit that search button.
This one is from?
This one is from December 27th, 1949. It's episode...
Whoops.
A new comedy show created by Cy Howard and starring that celebrated actor, Mr. J. Carroll Nash, with Alan Reed as Pasquale. Vasco left Italy to start his new life in America. He promised his mother that he would write and tell her about his adventures. So now let's read Luigi's letter as he writes to Mama Vasco in Italy.
Dear Mamma Mia. In a few more days, it's going to be the new year. Reason I'm on this is because this week, 6 banks is sending me 3 calendars. And they all would like I should bring them some money. Mamma mia, I'm thinking it would be much better if I was to send them 3 calendars and they was to bring me money. But you should see these 6 calendars. 3 of them has got pictures of dogs. One has got a picture of a bank. Another has got a picture of the Grand Canyon. And the last one has got a picture of a beautiful girl. Mamma mia, she's wearing less clothes than Uncle Pietro's goat. Anyway, I'm going to need all these calendars, so I'm going to throw away 5 of them. Now I got something on my wall I'm always wanted. Picture of the Grand Canyon. Someday, Mamma Mia, maybe you come to America, and you're going to see how the people here, they celebrated the New Year's. Dancing and singing and hollering and whistling. Then at 12 o'clock at midnight, the lights go out, the fellas is a kiss of the girls is a kiss of the fellas. Everybody is a kiss. This is a democracy. Last New Year's Eve, when the lights was a go out, I was standing next to Pasquale's fat Dora Rosa. Mamma mia, I'm a thought that the whole of democracy was a fall on me. But I'm sure I'm going to have a good time at this New Year's. But one thing would make it perfect. In America, is the custom on a New Year's Eve, everybody is a call up his mama and a wish a happy New Year. Oh, I wish I had enough money to call you up and hear your voice again. Well, it's no use to dream, but besides, it's the time I should go to my night school of class. So I'm going to finish this letter late.
All right, class. Quiet, quiet. Good. Now I'll call the roll. Mr. Basco?
Here.
Mr. Horowitz?
Here.
Mr. Olson?
Yes.
Mr. Schultz?
Why not? You are so quick on the trigger, my name should be Roy Rogers.
Mr. Schultz, please. Now, class, our lesson today is geography, and we will review the important rivers of the United States. Mr. Horowitz, you may name the 8 great rivers.
With pleasure. The Mississippi, the Potomac, the Delaware, the Ohio,
I'll give you a hint. There's one river associated with the name of an automobile.
You mean there's a Flivver River?
No. It's the Hudson.
Oh, I've stepped down into that one plenty of times.
All right, Mr. Schultz. Now, let's see if you can name another river.
The Missouri.
Well, good for you. That's excellent. Wonderful.
No, don't tell me. Just put it down on the report card.
Well, we have 5 rivers now. Can you name the other 3, Mr. Schultz?
Well, there's the Suwannee.
The Suwannee is not an important river, Mr. Schultz.
Oh, Al Schultzen should hear you say that.
Please, Mr. Schultz. Now, who can name the other 3 rivers? Mr. Basco?
Huh? Miss Spaulding, if you wish, I could give you the whole correct answer.
Well, please do, Mr. Olson.
Yo-ho. Miss Spaulding, shall I name the 8 rivers alphabetically or according to size?
Just call out their names, Olson, and they'll answer present.
Oh, keep quiet, Schultz, and learn something. The rivers are the Hudson, the Delaware, the Potomac, the Mississippi, the Ohio, the Missouri, the Columbia, and the Colorado.
Good for you.
Yo-ho. I might also add, other great rivers include the Susquehanna River, the St. Lawrence, the James, the Cumberland River.
Thank goodness he's passing through a dry state now.
Sure, you are just jealous of my knowledge of geography. Instead of acting like a jackass, why don't you be something like me? Studying and reading and learning. But I bet you I have 100 books in my head.
Look at him, what a horrible-looking bookcase.
Mr. Schultz, that will be enough. You could spend more time studying. And that goes for you, too, Mr. Horowitz. And you, Mr. Basco.
Mississippi, the Ohio, the Mr. Hudson.
Mr. Basco, we've had the answer. What are you thinking about, anyway?
Oh, excuse me, Miss Spaulding, but as soon as it's going to be New Year's Eve, and I'm going to have enough for money to call my mama on the telephone.
Oh,
poor Luigi. He is homesick.
Stop, Olson. Luigi is here with us. How can he be homesick? Smile, Luigi. I'm just trying to cheer you up.
Luigi, how much would it cost to make a telephone call from Chicago to Italy? Well, how much does it cost to make a call?
Yeah, how much?
I was asked a long-distance operator. She told me it's the cost with the government to tax. $15 the first 3 minutes, $5 each the next minute.
Ach, if you give a hiccup by mistake, you lost $3.
Yes, it is quite expensive. If you should speak to your mother for only 10 minutes, it would cost about $50.
Gee, that's a lot of money for a phone call.
True. But when you want to talk to your mother, $1,000 ain't too much. Thanks, Luigi. I got an idea for you. Why don't you lend the $50 from your friend Pasquale?
Mr. Horowitz, it is not lend. It is borrow $50 from Pasquale.
What's the difference? Either way, he ain't going to get it. Luigi, I got it a better idea. Go into Pasquale's store when he's not there and make the call on his telephone.
No, thanks, Schultz. But now I'm going to know what I'm going to do. It's hard to get money from a Pasquale. But maybe he's going to let me use his telephone. And when the bill is to come, I'm going to pay him out little by little.
That's a good idea, Luigi. Luigi, are you a smart cop? Smile. And what if you don't pay him back so quick? What can Pasquale do to you? Can he sue you in court? Can he take away your store? Can he make you marry his daughter, Rosa?
Mr. Kennedy?
About the zooing in the house, I don't know. But about Rosa, on that I can give you my guarantee.
Luigi, my friend. Hello, Luigi. Hello, hello.
Hello, Pasquale. Pasquale, I want to ask you a bigger favor about a New Year's Eve.
Sure, little banana nose. You know anything I've got is yours, and my house, and my food, and my clothes, my daughter Rosa.
Well, Pasquale, thank you very much for your house, and your food, and your clothes.
What about my daughter Rosa?
You're welcome. No, Pasquale, please, forget about her.
I will, after you marry her.
Pasquale, I'm coming here to ask you a bigger favor for us, so let us not to fight.
All right. So what's your bigger favor, money?
Well, there's a phone call I'm like to make tomorrow night with your telephone.
All right. Who are you going to call?
Italy.
What, are you crazy? People don't call up countries. They call up people.
Huh?
What are you going to do? Call up Italy and say, hello, Italy. What do you hear from the Alps? That's crazy.
No, Pasquale, you don't give me a chance to explain. I would like to call my mom on a New Year's Eve.
On my telephone, that's a cost about $1,000.
No, Pasquale, only about $50. And I'm a promise you I'm going to pay you back.
Luigi, maybe we'll make a little deal.
Huh?
You know, on the outside, I'm looking like I'm a hard man, but deeper down, you know, I'm filled with the milk of human kindness. And if for you, there's always a couple of bigger squats.
Oh, thank you, Pasquale. You're the biggest squirt I know.
That's the funny thing. When I'm a say it, it's a come out of different.
Yeah, but Pasquale, what is this deal you was talking about?
Well, Luigi, it's a strictly business. I'm willing to lend you the $50 for my own personal loan company. The Pasquale Finance Corporation.
Oh, thank you, Pasquale.
And as long as it's going to be business, you got to have a co-signer. Somebody who's married.
Well, all right, I'm going to get a shoes.
No, it must be a female married, the co-signer.
Well, all right, Mrs. Schultz.
Also, she's got to be married to my son-in-law, and his name is got to be Luigi.
Pasquale, you mean to get us some money? I'm going to marry Rosa?
Hello, my son. Goodbye, Papa.
No, Pasquale, you give me a good idea. I'm going to the real finance company and get to this loan of myself.
Who's going to give you a loan, you broken dolly? Wait. Luigi, I'm not got no hard feelings. Matter of fact, I'm got a bigger pull with the businessman to loan the company on a 4th of the Dearborn.
Huh?
You get down there right away now. You mention my name as your co-signer. You get the money in a minute.
Oh, thank you, Pasquale. I'm glad you're not mad at me. I'm going to down there right now.
Sure. Go. Sure, I'm going to help him get that money. And we're just giving him enough rope so he's electrocuted himself. Hello, a businessman who owns the company? Oh, Mr. Fantetti, hello, that's a Pasquale. I'm just to send a friend down to see you. His name is Luigi Bosco. He's a very nice little pumpkin head. Yeah, I'm going to co-sign his loan for him because he's got a very fine character. Oh, yes, he's just got a new job. He's working in a pool room. Also, in his spare time, he's laying a chiggy for a floating the crab game. Oh, this boy's a full of talent, yes. Huh? What he wants to use the loan of money for? Well, you see, right now he's a little short, but I guarantee if his horse wins the race, you're going to get all your money back with interest. You going to give the loan? Hello? Hello? They hung up on me. I wonder why.
now for the second act of Luigi Vasco's adventures in Chicago, we turn to page 2 of his letter to his mother in Italy.
And so, Mamma Mia, I'm a winter to that loaner company. Sign out the site as it said, the business man's loaner company. Who will lend you $100 on your signature? I figured out I'm right only my first name and I take a 50. But then a man in the side is asking me a lot of questions. How much money am I got in the bank? Stocks, bonds, and insurance. Then he's add up all of these things and he's find out I'm worth nothing. This I could have told him when I walked in. But then he says, who's your cosigner? And I'm told him a Pasquale. Next thing I know, I'm on the street, the car going home. Well, Mamma Mia, in a few more hours, it's going to be New Year's Eve. And a lot of Americans, they're going to be telephoning their mamas to say hello. But not to me, because I'm still not able to get money for the phone call.
And he'll be digging up the change, hopefully, to call Mom back in old Italy.
Yes, sir. During the break, I did find out that J. Carroll Nash was born in a foreign country of New York City.
Yep.
But the reason I was confused is because he is of Irish descent. He rarely played an Irishman, explaining, when the part of an Irishman comes along, nobody ever thinks of me. And he portrayed a lot of bad guys and mad scientists, and he was a mad scientist. And Batman serum, Gar pointed out us in the group, Dr. Daka. And he was a number of supporting character roles in horror films, including assistant to Boris Karloff in House of Frankenstein.
Yes, I loved his character, cool. Daniel, in that movie. He was a likable character, and he's very lovable as Luigi.
Oh,
most
yes.
Definitely. Yeah.
Very naive.
Limerick County, his family came out of.
Oh, okay. There you go.
You know, Limerick, there once was a guy named something who something something something.
Yeah.
His last film role was in Dracula versus Frankenstein. This, again, a mad scientist.
Yeah, playing opposite Lon Chaney Jr., who played a mute character because he was already beat up too from throat cancer. They both were. Coming near the end, and we got to get to the end of our Life with Luigi story, the New Year's phone call.
And a lot of Americans, they're going to be telephoning their mamas to say hello. But not to me, because I'm still not able to get money for the phone call.
Luigi, my fellow boob.
Hello. Hello, sure, sir.
Well, how did you make it out, Miss Pasquale?
Sure, sir, I'm going to understand what's happening. Because I'm no one to marry Rossi. He's no one to give him the money, so he's sending me to the finance company. But they don't want to lend me the money to anybody who's a shiny shoes in a pool room and is a cosigner is a horse.
Ach, Luigi, are you for shimmers?
Sure, so what am I going to do? I'm feeling terrible.
What can you do? Smile, Luigi. So if it ain't this year, maybe you'll call her next year. Anyway, I ain't gonna let you be so depressed. Tonight, me and my happy little family, we are having a New Year's Eve party, and you are going to join us.
Well, thanks, Schultz, but I'm gonna...
Stop! You are gonna love it! But there'll be me, my wife, my three children, cousin Hugo, Uncle Tom, my brother Wolfgang, his wife, their two children, Uncle Carl, Aunt Frieda, the four little nephews, my grandfather Max, his girlfriend, and the rest of the family.
But Schultz, you only got 2 rooms. How you gonna make a room for so much people?
It's New Year's Eve, so we raise the roof. Oh, smile, Luigi. But what do you say? Are you coming to my party?
Schultz, it's nice you should invite me, but...
No buts. Ach, Luigi, we got it such fun every New Year's Eve. There will be food and drink and balloons and crazy hats and horns and the radio always playing and the kids hollering.
Yeah, but sure, so what about the neighbors?
Let them make their own party. Oh, Luigi, we
we got a Dutch one at 12 o'clock sharp. Grandpa Max goes around and kisses everybody in the room. Oh, and when he does that, I laugh hysterically.
Why, Shusha?
His beard tickles my chin.
Ach, Luigi, I see it's no use. That phone call is on your mind. But remember, any time tonight, the fun is waiting for you.
Well, thank you, Shush.
Good, good. Now, give me a smile before I leave. Ah, that's better. Now, be like me, Luigi, happy. Always laughing.
My rheumatism is killing me.
Well, soon everybody's going to be calling their mamas and not to me. If the telephone company was only to know how much I'm a miss of this, they would surely lend me one along a distance to call. They would lend me one along a distance to call. Sure, why not? Mamma mia, it's only 4 o'clock. The companies are not to close yet. I'm going to downtown right now and talk with the president of the telephone company. Oh, look at the streets. Already people are starting to celebrate. Oh, there's the telephone company. Hmm, this is so big. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 12, 15, 16 windows in the ground floor. Well, there's no use to stand outside. I'm going to go in. Pardon me, lady.
Yes?
You work for this telephone company?
That's right. I'm a chief operator.
I'm a Luigi Basco, state the 42701. Are you recognizing my voice?
Pardon me. I've got to report for duty upstairs. Whom do you wish to see?
Well, I was thinking I would like to see the president, a fellow who's the owner of the telephones, Mr. Bell.
Mr. Bell? Oh, you can't be serious. He died years ago.
Oh, poor fella. Then maybe I can see Mrs. Bell.
She's dead, too.
Mr. and Mrs. Bell, they had some sons?
Well, I would imagine so.
Well, good. Then please, maybe I speak to one of the Bell boys.
Sir, maybe I could help you if you told me what you came here about.
Well, it's about a telephone call. It's a telephone call I'm a wanna borrow because it's soon New Year's Eve. And I ain't got the cash to pay for long distance to call it to my mamma mia in Italy.
Oh, well, are you a customer?
Oh, sure. Whenever I'm going to make a call, I'm going to use only the telephone.
I think the man you want to see is Mr. Hawkins. His office is right down the hall.
Oh, thank you. And you know, you're a very pretty girl.
Thank you. What did you say was your problem?
That's all right. I'm going to see the man. Mr. Hopkins, hope he's a nice man. What is it hurt nothing to ask? Ah, here. Robert E. Hawkins, general manager. Hmm. Man who manages the generals must be pretty important. Well, I'm going to go in.
Yes?
Hello.
Who are you?
Luigi Basco, state the 42701. Remember? Every month you send me a bill.
Well, have a seat, Mr. Basco. I'll join you in a minute.
What?
I said have a seat. I'll join you in a minute.
You think this chair is going to hold the both of us?
Now, Mr. Basco, you came here for a reason. What is it?
Oh, it's a very important, Mr. Hopkins. It's a very big favor I'm going to ask you.
Yes?
Oh, thank you. I didn't think you would say yes so quick.
Mr. Basco, what did you come here for?
Well, a few hours is going to be New Year's Eve. And everybody, they're going to call up with their mamas to wish them a happy New Year.
Yes, that's very true. As a matter of fact, I'm going to do that very thing myself.
Well, I'm going to telephone Mr. Hawkins, and I'm going to like to call my mom in Italy. But is it going to cost $50?
I get it.
Oh, no, you're not going to get it because I'm going to get it. You see, $50 is more than I can afford to pay in 1 month.
Well, what did you expect me to do about it?
Lend me the telephone a call.
What?
Sure. Just don't put on the bill. And instead, I'm going to pay you out the $4.50 a month for the year. Or maybe, if you like, every week, I'm going to bring a dollar to your house.
Mr. Basco, please.
Don't say no. I'm going to give you $3 a deposit right now.
I can't.
Then I'm not talking to my mama for 10 minutes. I'm talking for 8 minutes.
No.
Wait. I'm going to ask her about Uncle Pietro and his goat. So it's going to take only 5 minutes.
Mr. Basco.
How much does it cost if I'm just to say hello and a goodbye?
I'm very sorry, Mr. Basco. Really, I'd like to help you out, but I'm part of a big business concern, and things aren't done that way.
I'm understanding, Mr. Hawkins.
No hard feelings, I trust.
You trust? Oh, good. I'm going to pay you back every week. I'm going to
try. Mr. Basco, I'm afraid you misunderstood. I can't help you.
Huh? Oh. Well, goodbye, Mr. Hawkins. And just the same as always, I'm still going to do all of my telephone business with your company. Goodbye. Mamma mia, I'm going to try everything, but looks like it's no use. I'm not going to be able to make the call. Well, and now I'm going to go outside and go home. Oh, look at those crowds. Still not the 12 o'clock at midnight already. Everybody's in the streets.
Happy New Year, buddy.
Thank you, and a happy New Year to you, too.
What'd you say?
Nothing.
What's the matter, you wise guy?
No.
You want to start a fight?
No, I'm going to go home.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, lady. Happy New Year. Well, I'm open up. Going to my store, maybe go to sleep.
Hi, buddy. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Hey, wait a minute. Let's celebrate. How's about a nightcap?
No, thanks. I'm a never sleeper with a hat.
Hey, you're in a worse condition than I am.
Excuse me. I'm going inside of my store.
Hello, what's your hurry? What's your hurry?
Oh, it's so bad. Poor man, is there something wrong?
No. It's just that every New Year's Eve I get to think of my mother. Oh, my mother, she was just like a father to me. My father... He was just like a mother to me.
Nice.
You know, for the last 3 years, I've been going to a psychoanalyst. And that's no good.
Why?
He's just like a brother to me.
Well, that's too bad. Happy New Year, and I hope everything is straightened out for you.
Straightened out? Ain't I stiff enough?
Well, I... Poor man, I'm a better drag him in the hallway.
Hey, Luigi, that's no way to get a money for the telephone call rolling the drunks.
No, Pasquale. I'm going to give up all ideas about the phone call. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going into my store and I go to sleep.
Sleep? What are you talking? A few minutes, it's going to be midnight. Let's celebrate.
No, Pasquale, I'm going to feel like to celebrate.
Oh, stop. Don't say such a thing. Let's me and you and Rosa, we go walking on a Michigan Boulevard. We watch Rosa push in the crowd a little, eh? Don't answer. I'll call her in now. Rosa! Rosa! Rosa!
You called me!
Yes, my little Cupid doll. Rosa, say hello to Luigi.
Hello, Luigi.
Hello, Rosa.
Rosa. Any minute is it going to be 12 o'clock. What are you going to do?
Same as last year, Papa.
What's that?
You hold Luigi and I'll kiss him.
Right. And then, 12 o'clock. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year.
All right, listen, they're ringing out at 12 o'clock. 6, 7, 8...
9, 10, 11, 12. Pasquale, please, you close the door, huh?
All right. Listen, Luigi, just because it's American, a custom on a New Year's Eve for a son to call his mama, that's the meaning. You've got to do it. The whole thing is a trick put out by the telephone company. I forget about it. Hey, it's a telephone. Luigi, answer your telephone.
Hey, so maybe Schultz wants I should have come to his party. I'm going to feel like it.
Oh, Schultz. Well, forget about it. Is he giving up? Let's just start again. Luigi, answer, please, to the telephone.
Well, all right. Hello? Yeah, it's Luigi Bosco, 21 and North Hollister Street. What? Who's it calling to me?
Italy! Yeah, I'm a Holland.
Come, Rosa, let's go.
Yeah, sure, I'm a Holland. Mamma mia! Oh, how wonderful. Mamma mia, how you feel, huh? Yeah, isn't it a wonderful telephone? Yeah, sounds like we're next door to each other. Mamma mia, how you feel? That's good, good. And how's Aunt Margarita and Uncle Pietro? And is the goat? Oh, the goat is still not married. Mamma mia, it's beautiful to hear your voice. This is so nice, Mamma mia. Wait. Hey, who's the pay for this telephone call? Pasquale is a surprise to me? No? Then wait. That a man from a telephone company, he's a fix-up? No? Then, Mamma mia, how is it possible? Who's a paid? What? Out of towns of people from Castellamare? Why? Oh, I'm a forgot. In a Castellamare, is it the custom on a New Year's Eve? The mom should call the son.
Life with Luigi is a Cy Howard production. It was written by Mac Benoff and Lou Devon and directed by Mac Benoff. Jay Carroll as the star as Luigi Balasco with Alan Davis as well. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
There you go, life. Life with the Luigi, what a charming show.
Yeah, well, it is. And on to the life of Riley. I only have one thing to say about that, because I know I take up such time. Just take a quick second. Of course, it was created by Irving Breacher, and it was originally conceived as the Flotsam family. And it was a sitcom written with Groucho Marx in mind. Breacher wanted him to play Riley. So that never worked out, but it sure worked out well with William Bendix.
Oh, he's great in both the television show and this great radio adaptation.
Yeah, and a whole different show with Groucho, that's for sure. Go ahead. Sorry.
Mom. And William Bendix was really a powerful-looking guy. I mean, a real palooka sort of looking guy. When you see him on in movies or everything, I mean, he's kind of like, he has that, dare I say, Ernest Borgnine thing where he could be really tough. Yes, Ernest Borgnine was in everything. He influenced everybody.
Dave, I told you he'd work his way into the show. I knew it.
You did.
Didn't know how, but I just knew it was going to happen.
And there it is.
Thank
it was
you,
CW.
You.
And time's wasting, so
guilty.
Let's get on with Life of Riley as he invites himself to the boss's New Year's party, New York. New Year's party, and it's from
episode number 226 from December 31st, 1948.
It's new. It's amazing. It's Prel.
P-R-E-L-O, Pro Shampoo.
Yes, Procter & Gamble's new Radiant Cream Shampoo in the handy tube. Mm-hmm.
Terrell brings you The Life of Riley. Terrell, the shampoo that removes unsightly dandruff in as little as 3 minutes, leaves hair more radiantly clean, radiantly lovely, presents The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. The coming of the new year is the time for taking stock, for evaluating the past and determining just what progress we are making toward the goals we have set for ourselves. It was just a few days ago that Chester A. Riley seated himself at the kitchen table, sharpened a pencil with a bread knife, gave it a good lick, and began making a personal inventory on the back of an unpaid bill.
Well, let's see. Salary at the start of 1948, $59.20. Salary at the end of 1948, $59.20. Cash on hand at the start of 48, zero. Cash on hand at the end of 48, $4.
Oh, Riley, did you pay the gas bill this month? I think it's $4.
Cash on hand at the end of 48, zero. Well, let's see. Children at the start of 48, two. Children at the end of 48, two. I'm in a rut. Wives at the start of 48, one. Wives at the end of 48, one. No progress there either. Oh, well, that's silly. I better cross that out. Now, let's see what else. Oh, yeah, friends. Friends at the start of 48, Jim Gillis and Digger O'Dell. Friends at the end of 48, Gillis and Digger O'Dell.
Riley, what are you writing there?
Peg, you know what? We ought to get out more and meet people.
We certainly ought to.
Well, let's do something about it this New Year's Eve. I'm in the mood for a party.
Oh, you say that every year. And what happens? We wind up spending the evening with Gillis and Digger O'Dell, the undertaker. Gillis gets blotto on one Coke, and Digger pulls his annual joke. Look, he's getting stiff. Ho, ho, ho. Idea of a party.
No, this year we'll really step out. Make a big night of it. Eat dinner out. I'll spend every cent I got. Fair enough?
Well, you're sure playing it safe. I know you're broke.
Oh, okay. But this New Year's, we're going to have fun. A party. A big swank affair in a beautiful house with champagne and everything.
Oh, stop dreaming. Who's going to invite us?
Well, let's see now. I heard that Mr. Jenkins up the street is giving a big shindig this New Year's Eve.
Jenkins, the bank manager?
Yeah.
Well, you hardly know him.
What are you talking about? We're pals. He's crazy about me. Whenever I walk into the bank, his eyes follow me wherever I go. He'd love to have us. I'll call him up right now. Where's the phone book?
Oh, Riley, don't be ridiculous. You can't invite yourself to a party.
Oh, I'll trap him. First, I'll invite him to a party at our house.
What?
Yeah, and then he'll say, sorry, Chet, old boy, but I'm throwing a shindig over at my place. Why don't you and the missus join us? And we're set.
But, Riley...
Oh, here's the number. Gladstone 6739.
Oh, now, Riley, hang up that phone. You'll only make a fool of yourself.
Peg, I know what I'm doing. Did I ever see you wrong?
Every single time.
Now, well, it's time my luck changed. Hello? Hello, Mr. Jenkins' residence? Well, how are you, BJ? This is CR, BJ. Say, we were just talking about New Year's. What? What is this, Chet, BJ? Yeah, we were thinking you were... Huh? It was Chester. We were hoping that New Year's... What? Riley. You know, Riley. We thought New Year's... Riley. R-I-L-E-Y. We figured New Year's... What? New Year's. N-E-W-Y-E-E-R-S. We thought you'd... What? What do you mean, stop annoying... Now, wait a minute, Jenkins. Well, if that's going to be your attitude, I'm through doing business with your bank. I can get my blotters elsewhere.
Oh, Mr. Stevenson, Riley is in the outer office.
Oh, good. You think you'll do it for me, Millie?
Well, there's no harm in asking.
I hate to ask anybody to work on New Year's Eve, but I've just got to get someone to operate that spotlight in the ballroom.
I've tried every electrician in town.
Well... just have to be Riley. My wife insists on having that spotlight for the dancing. All right, send him in.
Yes, sir. Riley, Mr. Stevenson will see you now.
Oh, hi, boss.
Come in, Riley. Come in. Sit down.
Oh, thanks, boss.
Have a cigar, Riley?
Oh, thanks. Have a sunshine biscuit?
Thank you. Riley, I suppose you're wondering why I called you in.
Well, boss, if it's about the foreman catching me smoking in the paint shop, I'm sorry. I promise that you he'll never catch me again.
No, this isn't business, Riley. It's personal.
Oh, personal?
Yes. You see, I'm giving a big New Year's Eve affair.
Yeah, I know. I read about it in the society column.
Yes. Well, the fact is, Riley, did you and your missus have anything special planned for New Year's Eve?
Why, no.
Well, if you haven't, I was wondering if you'd like to...
You don't mean that you... Oh, boss.
Well, now, wait, Riley. Don't get the wrong
idea.
Here
you are, a big executive, and you're inviting me, a common riveter. Oh, you're a big man, Mr. Stevenson.
Riley,
This is real democracy. Here you are smoking my biscuit, and I'm eating your cigar. The American way of life.
Now, listen, Riley.
Just let me finish, boss. Coming to your party means a lot to me. It ain't so much for myself that I'm happy, but for the little woman who stuck with me through all these years when I was just a crumb. This will be the thrill of a lifetime for her, an even bigger thrill than our honeymoon. Thanks, boss. Thanks a million. Now, you wanted to say something, boss?
Riley, I didn't think you'd... I just wanted to ask if... You see, I needed to... We'll expect you at 9.
Riley, are you sure?
Well, of course I'm sure. I know an invitation when I hear one. Boy, wait till that snob Jenkins hears about this.
But why did Mr. Stevenson invite you, Daddy?
Yeah, Bob, why you?
Well, sir, that's a fine thing. My own kids think I ain't good enough to associate with the boss.
Oh, it isn't that, but he just
I'll tell you why he invited me. Democracy, that's why. Stevenson believes in democracy like I do. He figures like I do. And I always say whether he's a boss or a worker, one man is just as good as another.
Well, did he invite any of the other men at the plant?
What, them ignorant crumbs?
Don't know, but I don't feel quite right about going.
We gotta go. If we don't show up, it'll hurt his feelings.
Oh, I suppose we'll have
now,
to
Peg,
go.
Now, you've got the wrong attitude. This is the chance of a lifetime. The Rileys are moving into society. It's our debut. Our coming out party.
Oh, don't be silly.
Sure, you'll be coming out of your evening gown, and I'll be coming out of my tuxedo.
You're not kidding. I really haven't got a thing to wear.
Yeah, well, don't you worry. You're going to go to that party in style.
And what'll we use for money?
I wish you hadn't brought that up.
Mother, you can wear my white satin. Just let it out a little.
Hey, that's a great idea.
Oh, it won't fit.
Sure it will. Let it out a little around the shoulders and a lot around the... Oh, it'll fit like a glove. Oh, we're all set now.
What about a tux for you, Pop?
Yeah, well, that'll cost dough, too.
Riley, maybe we better not go.
No, nothing doing. I ain't passing up this chance. I'll borrow the dough. I got friends, you know, like good old Jim Gillis. Why, that sweet guy would gladly cut off my right arm for me.
Leave me alone, Riley. I ain't lending you no $10.
But, Gillis, it's very important.
You expect me to shell out my good dough so you can go to the boss's party and get in good with him and maybe get promoted foreman yet?
So that's why you're jealous.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Jealous? I wouldn't go to his party if he got down his hands and knees and begged me. And as long as he didn't beg me, you ain't going neither.
Well... That's a fine way to treat a guy who was your pal ever since you was a kid. Why, when we was in grammar school together, who let you peek his examination paper 4 years in a row? Me.
And who was left back 4 years in a row? Me.
And who stayed behind with you? Me. Well, this is how you repay back a pal after all I've done for you.
Hey, you never done nothing for me.
Gillis, how can you say that? When you had borderline anemia and you needed a transfusion, didn't I give you a quart of my blood?
Again with the blood. That's the fifth time this month you throwed it up at me. If you mention your blood once more, so help me, I'll cut open my vein and squirt it right in your eye.
Well, I'm glad I found out how you feel about me before our friendship got too ripe. Okay, but just remember this, Gillis. Riveters who get invited to the boss's house for New Year's don't stay riveters. They go up. And that's where I'm going. Up. I'll wind up an executive, a big shot. I'll be able to hire and fire guys just like that. And when that time comes, Gillis, you know what I'm going to do to you.
Yeah? What are you going to do to me?
I'll have my executive office right in the riveting department so you can watch me sleep while you're working. Peg, hurry up. We're supposed to be there at 9. We'd be late.
I'll be ready in a minute, dear.
Hey, kids, did you see my coat? Oh, here it is.
Hey, look at Pop out.
Oh, Daddy, you look wonderful.
Pretty slick, huh? Never saw me in a tuxedo before, huh?
Well, where'd you rent it, Pop?
Junior, your father does not wear rented suits. I got this from Digger O'Dell. Hey, what's keeping your... Peg!
I'm coming. Well, how do I look?
Oh, Dumplin', you look gorgeous.
Oh, gee, Mom, you're pretty.
Oh, Mother, you look absolutely ravishing.
Oh, go on with you. An old lady like me.
Old lady, what are you talking about? Why, you're young. Why, you look like my sister. And I look like your kid brother.
Oh. With your hair up like that, Mother, you look beautiful.
Honest, Peg, you look like a young bride. You look just the way you did at our wedding. Don't she, Junior?
How should I know, Pop? I wasn't there.
Yeah, well, you should have been. You sure missed the riot. Well, let's go. My arm, madame.
But you really think I look all right?
Oh, stop worrying. I guarantee that when you walk into that ballroom on my arm, everybody will be whispering, who is that charming, that gorgeous...
Oh, go on, Mom.
...that adorable man with that woman in white?
Riley, I've been looking all over for you.
Oh, this is a great party, huh, Peg?
Riley, let's go home.
Home? The evening's young yet.
Well, I feel out of place here. I don't know anybody, and nobody said a word to me.
You've got to mingle, Peg. Everybody's talking to me. I'm the most popular guy here. Every minute, somebody's calling me over.
What are you doing with that tray of drinks?
Martinis. 12 of them. I'm bringing them over to my gang over there.
Riley!
Oh, don't worry. I'm just drinking pure lemon juice. Come on over. Meet the gang. Big shots. Every one of them. You see that gray-headed guy snapping his fingers at me? That's Anthony LeBlond of American Airlines. He's a big airplane maggot. I've been bringing him drinks all evening.
You've been bringing him drinks?
Yeah, and sandwiches, and his wife, too. Uh-oh, they're coming over. I'll introduce you, Peg.
Oh, Riley, don't you see what's happened? Please come home.
Well, Peg, you got to learn to mingle. Don't be a snob. Talk to people. Treat them like equals, like I'm doing.
Ah, there you are, Riley.
Oh, say, Mr. LeBlond, I'd like you to meet my missus.
I'll take those drinks and please get us another round right away.
Yeah, but I'd like you to meet my missus.
And while you're about it, get us some of those delicious canapés.
Yeah, sure, I'd like you to meet my missus.
And don't forget, very dry with 2 olives.
Yeah, 2 olives. I'd like you to...
Riley, please, let's go home.
Waiter.
Get a load of that, Mr. LeBlond. That guy over there is calling you. He thinks you're a waiter.
Told you to come home.
What's the matter, my man?
I ain't your man.
What's wrong, waiter?
And I ain't your woman either. And I ain't your waiter. You can get your own drink.
See here. Now, wait a minute.
Oh, Peg. Peg.
Yes, dear.
Happy New Year.
There we go with part one of Riley invites himself to the party, and it's getting ugly.
Oh, Rotoware Bolton Development, this is.
Indeed, and let's wrap up, Riley. We got just enough time to finish this up and say goodbye and Happy New Year. So let's finish off Life of Riley.
And now back to the Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley.
Mother,
Mother, Daddy, what are you doing home so early?
Gee, it's only a little after 12.
What happened?
Don't ask so many questions. Help me get your father to the couch. Come on, Riley.
Oh, gee. I thought Pop never touches a drink.
Of course not. He just serves them. Junior, go to bed.
Okay.
Babs, make your father a hot cup of tea.
Oh, yes, Mother.
Put two olives in it.
Daddy?
Oh, now stop brooding about it, Riley. Go on, Babsy. There, now lie down, dear, and try to forget about it.
I can't forget it. I'll never forget it. Treating me like a waiter.
Well, it's your own fault. I told you we shouldn't have gone. Besides, in that tuxedo digger Odell Enchi, you looked like a waiter.
Those cheap grafters, not one of them tipped me.
I knew we shouldn't have gone, but you wouldn't listen.
Please, Peg, I feel bad enough as it is.
Well, I'm sorry, dear. I'm upset, too.
Fine New Year's Eve this turned out to be. When I started out, I thought this was my big chance. Maybe I'd get to be an executive. Look how I wind up.
Now, dear, it's not that bad.
This is what comes of being a nice guy.
Well, that's the way to be.
No. I learned my lesson tonight. There's only one way to get ahead in this world. You got to be mean, ruthless. Step on people.
Now, that's not true.
It's the only way. All my life, I've been a softy. But from now on, I'm going to have a heart as hard as a rock.
You don't know what you're saying.
Yes, I do. Ruthless. Before I'm through, some of the nicest people in this town are going to hate me. You'll be proud of me, Peg.
Oh. Now, stop working yourself up over nothing. Now, try to relax, dear. I'll go get you your tea.
Ruthless. That's the only way to be. I'll get ahead. I'll get to the top. I'll own my own plant. Then I'll get even with everybody. Yeah, ruthless. Ruthless. Ruthless Riley. That's what I'll be. Ruthless.
Hello. Ruthless Riley speaking, president of the Ruthless Aircraft Corporation. Who is this?
This is your stockbroker, short-term, long-term capital and gains.
Listen, did you buy me U.S. rubber?
Yes, sir.
Good. Did you buy me Continental Sugar?
Yes, sir.
Good. Merge them and we'll have a new company, the Riley Bubblegum Corporation. Millie, where's my secretary?
Here I am, sir.
What kept you?
These chains are heavy.
Millie, how much money have I got in the bank?
$7,400,000,800,000.
All right. Never mind the small change. Take a memo. Cut all salaries 50%, including yours.
Oh, no, you can't. We're all starving now. Today, 10 workmen fainted from hunger.
Dock them each a dollar for the time they were out.
Oh, you're ruthless.
Flattery will get you nowhere.
Riley, old pal.
What are you doing here, Gillis?
Riley, you gotta help me. The sheriff's foreclosing the mortgage on my house today.
What? I'll have his job for this. Millie, call the mayor and tell him to fire the sheriff.
Oh, thanks, Riley.
I told him to foreclose yesterday.
Riley, help me, for old time's sake.
Come, Gillis, it's not the end of the world, so you haven't got a house, but you still have a job here.
That's right, Bud.
You get a salary every week.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't you feel better now?
Yeah, I feel fine.
You're fired.
Oh, Riley, you can't do this to me.
I just did it.
Okay, Riley, I'm gone. But remember, whatever happens, you're responsible.
This'll teach him. Next time I ask him to lend me $10 for a tuxedo. What was that, Millie?
Gillis just shot himself.
What nerve? On company time yet. Out of my way.
Gillis, I just blew my brains out. Please, make me an executive.
Okay, you're an executive. $500 a week.
Oh, Riley, darling, thanks.
And now you're fired. Where's my butler, LeBlanc?
Here I am, sir.
Where are my martinis?
Here they are, sir. 12.
Are they dry?
Very dry.
Not dry enough. Look, my finger's wet. Take another dozen.
Riley, why are you torturing me like this? First you ruined me, took away my airlines, then you hired me as your butler. All I do is make martinis. 10 hours a day I make martinis for you, but you never drink them. I can't stand it any longer. I'll go mad, do you hear? Mad!
He shot himself. Oh, ruthless, everybody shooting themselves on account of you. Why do you do it?
I own the Riley Revolver Company. It's good for business. I'm ruthless. And I'll go on being ruthless, no matter how many people I drive to their graves. But nobody will drive me to my grave.
Would you care to bet?
It's you.
Yes, it is I, Digby O'Dell, the friendly undertaker.
What are you doing here, Digger?
I've come to straighten you out.
I don't need straightening out.
Let me be the judge of that. You must mend your ways. Stop treating your employees so harshly. Otherwise, they'll retaliate.
No, they won't.
Mine did once when I worked them too hard. They stole a sign from a beauty parlor and hung it on the door of my business establishment. Though I was mortified.
Why? What did the sign say?
Try one of our mud packs. I'm warning you, Riley. Change or you'll end up disastrous slack.
I can't change now, Digger. I don't want to. I'm going places. Nothing can stop me. I'm on my way up.
You're on your way, all right, but you're going in the opposite direction. I warn you, Riley, someday your epitaph will read, "Here lies Riley. He was ruthless, mean, and grim. He walked all over people. Now they're walking over him."
I gotta be ruthless. I'm doing it for my wife and kids.
That's not true. You're doing it for yourself.
Peg, what are you doing here?
I've come to tell you that I'm leaving you, ruthless.
No. No, you can't do that. I'm doing this all for you. Didn't I give you beautiful homes, jewels, yachts, clothes, a mink swimming pool?
Yes. But all I ever wanted from you was love. But you were too busy being ruthless.
I'll change. I'll learn how to be a lover again. I'll take lessons.
It's too late. I found love elsewhere.
Who is he? Who is he?
He's only a poor but honest riveter, right here in your own plant, Carl Stevenson. Well, this is goodbye, ruthless. Carl and I are leaving on our honeymoon.
No, no.
And the children are coming with us.
No, that's not fair. You didn't take the kids on our honeymoon.
Goodbye, ruthless.
No, no, wait. Peg, come back. Peg, Peg, I can't live without you. Peg, wait. Peg. Peg, Peg, come back.
Riley, Riley, wake up. Well, you're having a bad dream.
Huh? Oh, where'd you... Oh, Peg. Peg, tell me. Is it true that you're in love with a poor but honest riveter?
I certainly am.
Who?
You.
Me?
You've been having a nightmare.
Wait a minute. You mean I ain't a millionaire?
You?
And I ain't hated by everyone?
Oh, of course not.
And I'm still myself?
You're still yourself.
What a revolting development this is.
The Rileys will return in just a moment. Well-groomed hair is Prel-groomed hair. And that's why millions of folks all over America shampoo with Prel, Procter & Gamble's Radiant Cream Shampoo in the handy tube. Prel gives hair that well-groomed look in two ways. By leaving hair radiantly lovely and radiantly clean as well, free of unsightly dandruff. Yes, Prel removes such dandruff in as little as 3 minutes. Doctors' examinations proved it. In most cases, even stubborn dandruff was controlled by only 2 Prel shampoos a week. Your Prel shampoos are economical, too. Yes, Prel goes farther than any known shampoo, cream, or liquid because it's more concentrated. Prove it for yourself. Ask for Prel.
P-R-E-L-L, Prel shampoo. Leaves hair radiant, gleaming bright. Not a bit of dandruff is in sight. Comes in a tube, handy too. P-R-E-L-L, Prel shampoo.
bad before, Pop.
Oh, I feel great now. Oh, this is the way to spend New Year's Eve, Peg. Right here on the bosom of your family. Bebsy, get me a Coke.
Huh? Oh, but, Riley, you just had tea.
Well, I'm mixing my drinks. Yes, sir, tonight I'm living.
It isn't everybody I meet who can say that.
Well, Digger.
You come in?
I was just passing by. Saw the light, so I thought I'd wish you a Happy New Year. Happy New Year. And now that the old year has passed away, I suppose you've made a wish for the new year, eh, Riley?
You bet I have, Digger. You know what I wish? I wish that every father in the world could have as wonderful a family as I've got.
Oh, Daddy. Oh,
yes, I got the sweetest daughter.
Oh, Daddy.
The nicest boy.
Oh, Pop.
And the prettiest, cutest wife in town.
Oh, Riley, you're embarrassing me.
Well, don't be embarrassed, Dumpler. It's a pretty small town. Oh.
Well, if you want the truth, I've got the dearest husband there is.
Now, Peg.
And I've got the handsomest father.
Oh, bad.
Yeah, I got the smartest pop in the neighborhood.
Oh, June.
Well, you are, Pop.
Well, I shouldn't say it, but I am. I gotta admit it. I made a resolution this year to always tell the truth. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Procter & Gamble invite you to join us again next week to hear The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. The script is by Reuben Shipp, Alan Lipscott, and Dick Powell. Mrs. Riley is Paula Winslow. Digger Odell is John Brown. The Life of Riley is produced by Irving Brecker. And remember, for more radiant hair, free of unsightly dandruff, get the shampoo in the tube. P-R-E-L-L. Prel Shampoo.
Would you like to keep your dainty lingerie lovely longer?
That's my problem. I certainly would, but how?
Well, you can be sure that your lovely lingerie is safe in snow. Yes, safe in... Wonderful ivory snow. Pretty lingerie can stay lovely longer with Ivory Snow Care. Your hands will tell you why. Just wash dishes with ivory snow as millions do. See how ivory snow pampers your hands. Then you'll know it's extra kind to lovely lingerie. It's the only soap both ivory mild and granulated for efficiency. There's just no other soap like Ivory Snow. So use the soap especially made to keep lovely lingerie lovely longer. Wonderful Ivory Snow.
And this is Ken Niles wishing you a Happy New Year on behalf of Procter & Gamble, sponsors of The Life of Riley. See you next week. Good night.
This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.
I know that song with 90 seconds left to go. I want to remind you to be here tomorrow night at 6:30 as we complete our New Year's weekend with some dramas.
Some New Year's
some
dramas.
Oysters.
Yeah, some dramas. Yep.
Ooh,
yep. Big Town and Gunsmoke. That's tomorrow night at 6:30 Eastern.
Eastern time. Yes, so yep. Bring the Dramamine for the drama.
Yes. Well, this is it, our last show.
Last show.
2021.
Game over, man. Game over, man. Game over.
Until next year.
Yep.
Until next year.
Stay sick. Turn blue. Scratch glass. Climb walls.
And get better, Gar.
Do it while you can.
Oh, please. Yes. Have some noodles. Chicken noodle soup. It'll do you good. Little noodle soup. It's penicillin.
I keep telling chicken soup. It cures everything. Good night.
It even has
the castle lights are growing dim.
Oops.
There's no one left but me and him.
And her.
When next we meet, in Frankenstone. Don't come alone.
Happy New Year.
Perfectly timed. Very nice. Very nice.
Nicely done.
Yep. Yeah, this is the first time in a while we haven't actually rang in the new year.
Well, we didn't do it last year, but up till that time, I think we did. First 3 years in a row.
Yeah, it wore us out.
But I was on with Mike Mace on Wednesday, and I thought it was really, really late. It was like 9 o'clock. I said, geez, I used to go out then. Now I'm ready to go home and go to bed.
Yeah, I know. It's funny. When you're 18, you're just getting fired up at 9 at night. Now it's like, yeah, I wonder if I can keep my eyes open.
Not for me. If I wasn't home at a certain time, I'd have a SWAT team hunting for me. Thanks, Mom and Dad. SWAT team, U.S. Marshal Service, CIA, you know. My parents knew a lot of people.
Wow.
Yeah, the Israeli Haganah. Yeah, the Mossad, Israeli Haganah, MI1-7.
too good. But
oh yeah,
it's been a cool 5 years of old time radio. 5 years now?
Yeah, we start, 5 years. We start year five. Six. Tomorrow.
Oh, here we go.
The big five. Wow.
Thousand shows.
Quite the ride, and interesting shows, and interesting people, and interesting guests, and interesting co-hosts.
Indeed.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And you guys have been fabulous as well, as I said before, and I shall say it again. Thanks for letting me tag along for the ride. Hop on your little bandwagon.
Yeah, you're not tagging. No,
yeah,
no.
You add so much to this. It isn't a tag. It's a
hijack.
Okay, in some cases, but that's okay.
Yeah. If we were going to be hijacked by someone, we would prefer it to be you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Hear that, NSA? See, I have potential.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Well, we all have potential. Dale and I used to have potential.
Yeah.
That's where we ended up. Oh, well.
Oh, dear. But, gentlemen, the clock is ticking, and I must be away, but not that I'm going to any sort of party. I just have to be doing something else. But with that being said, I'm going to wish you the very best of ringing in the 2022 with you, your significant others, and your pets, and your lawn, and whatever else you're going to ring in with. So, if I may, with your permission, I'm going to
absolutely
wave to the one and only Schnozola. He's taken a sip of a little champagne a little earlier, Mr. Grandy.
Good night.
Little old Wendell.
We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo.
For 2022.
Good night, folks, and good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
I know it's planting a chandelier with a lampshade on her head.
Yes, it was all about dreams.